Amen. Take your Bibles this afternoon. Let's go together to the book of Matthew. We're going to be together in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look in a little bit into Luke chapter 11. So if you find Matthew chapter 7 and you want to put your finger there, put the ribbon of your Bible or a bookmark there, you could put it in Luke chapter 11, and we'll read beginning in Matthew. And then take the ribbon of your Bible and place it in Luke 11. And we're going to look at a few verses here in a little bit. A contextual verse that will help us kind of shine light on what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. We find Jesus, as we have looked in this text, we have found again and again what God says about prayer. And come back again this afternoon to look in Matthew chapter 7. So moving now from the 6th chapter over to the 7th chapter, and we'll be together in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And it came, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." Misreading slipped in there. Ask is the first word there. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Probably it was such an important watershed verse. We probably don't understand because of the day that this was written how important Jesus' admonition, ask. Very simple, isn't it? Ask. But yet, probably one of the most powerful things that was ever heard in the ears of the people that heard this message. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask him a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Father, we love you. Guide our understanding of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ask. Seek, knock. In the minds of the person who heard it the first time, the response was probably, yeah, right. Ask, seek, knock? No way. I don't believe it. This was the way that it would have been heard in that first day. Imagine as Jesus is gathered there with the disciples, his 12 disciples. Outside of them was another group of people that had come just to hear Jesus. They're not really going to follow him. They have no interest in him being their Lord. They're not going to give everything they have to make the kingdom of God work. But they're there to listen. They're there to hear the message. And then on the fringe, on that outside fringe, is that group of people that have been the enemy of Jesus since he first popped up out of the desert. And he will be the enemy of Jesus all the way till Calvary. And you find that there is this group of people that have gathered to hear the message of Jesus. And Jesus says something that is revolutionary at its core. It is right down the line, almost ridiculous, what Jesus says. Ask, seek, knock. Almost ridiculous. You say, why would it be so weird? Why would it be so out of hand? Why would it have been so ridiculous for these people to hear this message? Because these people who heard this message on this day had been so conditioned, been so trained, had been so taught from the religious elites, from the Pharisees, from the Sadducees, and the Herodians. There had been such political pressure and emotional pressure and spiritual pressure and religious pressure on the people of God that whenever they heard anything of God, it was always inside the realm of God is up here and you are way down here and we are up here. In the minds of the people, they had been so conditioned and trained through fake religion that claimed the name of Jehovah that when they heard Jesus speak of Jehovah, they would have been taking all of the years of belittling, all the years of mistreatment, all the years of being told they weren't good enough to approach God, and they would have taken all those years and run them through this idea that Jesus says, all you have to do is ask, all you have to do is seek, all you have to do is knock. You see, to us, we hear this phrase, ask, seek, knock, and we think, man, that means we can go right in before the Lord. We don't have to wait. We don't have to get anybody to help us. We can just go right before the Lord, and we say, Lord, you know what? We need your help here. God, would you please help us? We could seek him out. We could find out his will. We can get in the word of God, and you and I can do something that no Old Testament saint could have done, and dive into the word of God, and we can seek him out. Even as Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, he said that we could seek righteousness, and that we would be filled if we would hunger and thirst for it. And you and I have the ability to seek out the will of God, to know the will of God by running to his word. This is something that they would have never have had access to. There would always be just outside of reach of this kind of command. All they'd have to do is knock. Oh no, sure. God may not answer yes the very first time. We don't always hit our knees and ask for something, and then the next day it takes place. Anybody in here and know that you may need to pray once in a while a little bit more than you would have to? You recognize there are times where we're going to pray for somebody to get saved, and we may pray for years and they may never get saved, but we're going to keep praying, we're going to be faithful, we're going to keep asking God, and we just keep bringing that response before the Lord in humble and sincere heart. We just bring it to him again. Lord, please, I want my family to be saved. Lord, please let my sister get saved. Lord, please let my brother get saved. And we bring that request again and again and again. And all we're doing is knocking, just continually bringing it to the Lord. Lord, would you please? Father, would you please answer my request? Lord, please help me. Please bring this. And what we are doing is simply coming to the Lord, asking, seeking, and knocking. Something that seems almost familiar to us would have been completely unheard of among those who first heard it. Jesus sitting here with his disciples and said, listen, if you want to serve me, then you need to start asking God. You need to seek God out. You need to knock, and don't just go to God, but go to him every day. Go back to the Lord and talk with him again and again and again. And in the mind of those who heard it, they would have said, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? This guy's out of his mind. You could just walk up to God. You could just ask him, what are you going to ask with your own mouth? Come on, I'm not one of the Pharisees. The Pharisees have taught us very, very well that no, God won't listen to us because we're just commoners. We're not holy enough. We're not clean enough. We're not good enough. We're not righteous enough. And then comes along this Jesus, this teacher that they say is a false teacher. And he says, just go to him. Just go ask him. Go talk to him. He's right there. Just stop and pray. Just call on him. And if you'll come through me, I will bring you to him. And you can know the Father because you came through Jesus. You imagine how improbable this idea would have been. You see, what had taken place in the culture was this. The Pharisees introduced this false idea of God, which bred insecurity among the people. The insecurity bred a competition among the people. Now everybody's trying to be better than everyone else. Even Jesus has to kind of put a mention of it in his message. He says, unless you can exceed, unless you can be better than the Pharisees, you're not going to get into the heaven. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God. And what he meant was, even the Pharisees aren't getting in. I'm not letting the Pharisees into the kingdom of heaven. Now I had to tick them off a little bit. They had to get a little upset with that idea that Jesus was the one deciding who gets into heaven and who does not. And here the Pharisees now are kind of getting angry. And Jesus goes ahead and goes for the killer throat punch here when he tells them, and by the way, you can go right into the presence of Jesus. Right into the presence of God. You can go right in. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be introduced. You ask, you seek, you knock. And if you'll do it in my name, he will hear you. And every one of the Pharisees, I can imagine, grabbing a hold of the furniture saying, oh my goodness, you let me up there. I'm going to knock this guy out. Why? Because this had been opposite of everything they had ever taught. This was the opposite of the entire system. But even the Pharisees, I mean, they got to their position because they kept the rules. They got to their position because they held the status quo. They were the ones who first bought into the lie that all the people had bought into. They themselves lived by the rules and fought their way up the chain of command among the church leaders. And they were really something special. They really were something important. They had earned this. And here he goes tearing it down. Does he even know what he's talking about? This competition bred in a relationship void. It was not come to God because he wants to know you and you can know him. Instead, because we are competing for God's pleasure, and because you and I are in competition with God, you can't really have a relationship with him because there's always somebody else looking to take your place. In other words, God is not a lover of your soul and one who cares about you intimately. He is the beguiled boyfriend who always likes the next prettier girl. And you can never really have a relationship with him because he's always looking for the next more spiritual, the next better person. And eventually he's going to push you to the side and take the next best. And then the next best and the next best. And you see how weak that makes God? And they had made this competition as if God cares about who prayed the most or who gave the most or who did the most good. And it was as if God was somehow this beguiled little spirit flipping around the countryside looking for the person who did the most and then he would like that person. No, instead Jesus helps us understand God as a father who loves his children and simply asks them, come to me. Come to me. Come know me and let me tell you about who I am. And let's have a relationship. But they had destroyed the relationship. Their competition had taken the relationship away from them. Without a relationship, there's a distortion. There's a distortion in the faith. You think about how you feel before God when you sin. Anybody know that feeling, that sinking feeling when you know you've done wrong? Your mouth went too far. Your attitude went too far. The thoughts went too far. And you feel like this weight, this kind of shame. And you know that the answer is run to Jesus, seek his forgiveness, find his restoration, be put back up on your feet. But we don't do that. No, we don't. We're like, you know what? I feel like I need to sit here and wallow in my shame for a little bit longer. I feel like I need to. It's not a joke. We're trapped by it many times. As if we spill enough emotional blood, then we'll have enough to cover our own sin, right? Like we're trying to shed enough emotional pain. And if we feel bad enough, then we can wash it away. Being reminded only that only Jesus can wash away our sins and only his blood is good enough to wash away our sins. But we like to hold on to a little bit more pain, a little bit longer because it feels like we finally are sorry. Jesus says, no. Ask, seek, knock. Come right in to the presence of God. These Jews had been left in this place so far from God an entire lifetime. And Jesus had just told them, I've taken care of it. If you'll come in my name, you can go right into his presence. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is seek. All you have to do is knock. Not only that, but he came with promises. If you seek, I'll answer. If you knock, I'll open. If you seek, you'll find. This powerful, powerful promise from God. The Bible tells us in this passage that though they felt, yeah, right about this, the problem ultimately was that prayer can be hindered because we put man in God's way. Prayer is hindered when we put man in God's way. You recognize with me today that every one of us have the ability, the power, the right in Jesus' name to go right into the presence of God. And my question to you is, do you? Do you? Go right into the presence of God. Do we often? You say, well, I mean, it's been a while. It's been a minute. Okay. So if we have those who are trapped in false teaching, and they never go in the presence of God, not because they don't want to, but because they have been lied to, how is that better or worse than someone who's not been lied to, has the truth, and still doesn't? The problem was that they allowed man to get between them and God. Can I tell you, I submit to you today, the same is true for you and me. I believe the only hindrance between you and God is man. All the ladies are like, yeah, I would have told you that. Men are always in my way. The reality is that we're the only thing keeping us from the presence of God. If this passage could have said it any clearer, I don't know how. The problem that these people faced was that they had, though they had the ability to go into the presence of God, they would not or could not because of what they knew in their heart and their mind. You and I, the only thing keeping us from going right into the presence of God with any request, ask, seeking, or knocking, with any request right into the presence of God, is either how we think or feel. It's what we have learned ourselves. It's what we are telling ourselves as opposed to what they were being told by the Pharisees. What is the reason we can ask, seek, or knock? The reason is actually found in our text. Okay, the reason is found, and we won't take long here, but I told you to turn to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, you slid your ribbon there, and we look at Luke chapter 11. Did I say Hebrews 11? I'm ready for a nap. Luke chapter 11. The Bible says, Luke 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in the journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish? Give him for a fish, give him a serpent. Now, when I read all of that to let you know, it's the same context. Jesus is speaking the same thing in Luke 11 as he is speaking in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, he says, fish or stone. You can have a fish or a stone. Why would he say fish or stone? If your son came to you and asked, can I have a fish? Would you give him a serpent? Absolutely not. If you ask him for bread, would you give him a rock? Absolutely not. But why is he asking for a fish or stone in the first place? Or a fish or bread in the first place? Why is he asking for a fish or bread? It's in Luke chapter 11 that we find out. Luke chapter 11 tells us why a young man would need to ask his father for something. It's because of that friend. That friend who came in the middle of the night. The story is that the man comes in the middle of the night. He's been traveling through and he says, I need a place to stay. And in that era, it would be against all teaching and training to send them away. You would never send them away. You say, absolutely, come in here, join my family. And you would all, I mean, you'd just make a big night of it. And all your friends and family, they would know you had a guest and you'd bring them in and they would stay in your home and you would feed them right away. You wouldn't wait to feed them. They've been on the road. You're going to feed them. It doesn't matter if it's midnight, you're feeding that family. And they would get up and of course, if you hadn't been prepared for them, you might need bread. You might need fish to feed them. And so the Bible tells us that the man would leave his home and would go down the road to where his friend lived, and he'd knock on the door in the middle of the night. Now, this friend is not as kindly as the person who's knocking because he says, what do you want? Go away. Wait, I just opened my home to somebody. Well, you can't give me a fish for crying out loud? You can't give me some bread for crying out loud? Come on, help me. I've got a friend. He's staying the night. I won't get to sleep tonight. You're in bed. Just get out. He goes, no, go away. Leave me alone. So one man wants to make sure he is meeting all the obligations of the culture. The other man cares nothing about the obligations of culture. Why does he want the fish or the bread? So he can be a blessing to others. Why does God want us to be able to come before him asking and seeking and knocking? Because it is through the one who regularly asks, seeks, and knocks that he can bless others. You see, the whole plan of God was that he would bless you so much that in his blessing, you could bless others. That in his blessing, you could take that provision to the one who needed the place in the middle of the night. And all you'd have to do is ask, seek, or knock. And what he's shown to us is the two natures. One who is willing to care, and one who by his own strength has everything he needs and is unwilling to care. You have these two opportunities. If we as God's people see ourselves as able and free to go before the presence of God, then we are more able to see ourselves as those who can bless others without ever having to be stingy with what he's given to us. So my friend, I'm asking you, we're not any better than those who would not ask, seek, and knock. We're simply holding ourselves outside of the blessings that God wishes to give you and God wishes to give to all those around you. Ask, seek, knock. Not because God will love you more or God will love you less, so that God can do more through you and give to far many more than you could have without him.